You know that feeling, right? After a storm, the air clears and boom, there it is. A rainbow. It just grabs you, doesn't it? It seems almost universal. Today, we're going to take a deep dive into what that arc in the sky really means. Its symbolism across, well, history and different cultures. We're hoping to pull out some really fascinating bits, maybe some unexpected connections. So let's unpack this. But maybe first, what is it about a rainbow that gives it such, you know, power?
Well, it's this fascinating paradox at its heart. I mean, scientifically, sure, it's optics. It's sunlight hitting water droplets just right. But here's the kicker. Your specific position matters. The rainbow you see, it's unique to you. No one else sees that exact same one. And that blend, you know, objective physics meets this deeply personal, subjective experience that's really fundamental to its symbolic weight. It bridges the physical world and our inner experience.
Yeah, that makes sense. And it's incredible how ancient cultures ran with that, didn't they? That mix of the objective and subjective. Wow. They weren't just seeing like weather. It was often something much bigger, divine even. How did they take that that very personal moment of awe and turn it into something so profound, so shared?
Exactly. For many, it literally was a bridge, a pathway between worlds. You look at Norse mythology, you've got Bifrost, this like shimmering, burning rainbow bridge. It connected our world, Midgard, directly to Asgard, where the gods live, a sacred, maybe even dangerous link. But then you contrast that with, say, the Australian Aboriginal rainbow serpent. That's quite different. It's not a bridge to somewhere else. It's a creator being right here, deeply woven into the land itself. This powerful entity shaped the landscape, carving rivers, filling water holes. The divine isn't distant. It's the life force of the land.
Wow. That's a really stark contrast, a bridge far away versus a creator right here. Does this duality, this ability for the rainbow to hold seemingly opposite ideas, pop up elsewhere?
Oh, absolutely. Think about the Hebrew Bible, the story of Noah. After the flood, God sets a rainbow in the sky. The word used is keshet, which, interestingly, also means a war bow. So the rainbow is seen as God's war bow, but unstrung, put away. Symbolizes mercy, yeah. But also a promise no more world-destroying floods. And get this, it's often interpreted as a reminder for God himself.
A reminder for God. Okay.
Yeah, so it holds both that past power, that potential for destruction, and the promise of future peace. Now, compare that to, say, a Buddhist perspective. A rainbow appearing might be seen as an auspicious sign, but it's for the practitioner. It indicates their spiritual progress, maybe a high state of consciousness achieved. It's less about a divine promise to us and more a sign of our own inner journey.
Okay, so we've gone from these big external divine connections.
Mm-hmm.
What happens when that idea, that spectrum, turns inward?
Yeah.
When we start mapping it onto ourselves, our bodies, our minds, and how does that play out today in, like, modern identity?
Right. It's a really interesting shift. You see it clearly in the chakra system. That system maps the seven colors of the rainbow onto specific energy centers in the body. You start with the red root chakra down at the base of the spine. That's about grounding, stability. And you move all the way up to the violet crown chakra at the top of the head, which connects to spirituality, higher consciousness. It's more than just a metaphor. The body itself is viewed as this kind of living prism. Aligning those color frequencies is seen as a path to inner balance.
A living prism, like that.
And just as those colors got mapped internally, they've also become incredibly powerful symbols for collective identity. The most obvious example today is probably the LGBTQ+ pride flag.
Gilbert Baker's design, yeah.
Yeah.
Hard to miss. Such a symbol of hope.
Absolutely. Designed in 1978, originally it had 8 stripes, actually. Hot pink for sex, yellow for sunlight, violet for spirit, and so on. It got simplified later to the 6 stripes we mostly see now. But it became this profound symbol of diversity, visibility, and yes, hope for a community that often felt invisible or persecuted. It's a banner saying, we exist in all our diversity. Mm. And you see echoes of that hope after struggle idea in more recent sort of secular adaptations too, like the term rainbow baby, a child born after a miscarriage or infant loss, or even the rainbow bridge idea for people grieving pets. In both cases, the rainbow marks that transition from sorrow to hope, a promise of something beautiful after loss.
It's amazing how versatile it is. We've touched on bridges, creators, promises, inner energy, modern identity. What do you think is the real core thread here? What makes the rainbow such an enduring symbol across all these different meanings?
You know, what's really fascinating, I think, is its role as a fundamentally liminal symbol. Liminality means being in a transitional state, sort of betwixt and between.
Okay, like a doorway.
Exactly, like a doorway between two conditions, the storm and the clear sky, earth and heaven, sickness and health, grief and hope. The rainbow literally appears in that transitional moment, and it's born from opposites, isn't it? Sun and water, light and moisture. It inherently unifies them. And if you think bigger picture, there's that prophecy, sometimes attributed to Native American traditions, about the warriors of the rainbow. It speaks of people from all different tribes and colors uniting to heal the earth. Greenpeace famously named their ship Rainbow Warrior, tapping right into that. So the symbol moves from just being a sign to being a call for collective action, for unity out of diversity to create a better future, moving from conflict to cooperation.
Right. And maybe that's the final thought for everyone listening. The rainbow kind of teaches us that beauty, that hope. It often emerges right out of the messy parts, out of the turmoil. And maybe diversity and unity aren't opposites after all. Maybe they're both essential ingredients for building something, well, more beautiful and real together.